Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you want a home in the Central Florida area for any size family to visit Walt Disney World, Universal, or any of the other Orlando attractions, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show is also being brought to you by David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at any of the DVC properties at Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Hawaii at Aulani, Hilton Head Island, Vero Beach, or any of the other Disney resorts, contact DVCByRequest.com. Again, David's Vacation Club Rentals, DVCRequest.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter at any of the Disney World resorts, contact Scooter Vacations at ScooterLando.com. And last but not least, our great friends over at American Tourist Travel. If you want to book any Disney travel vacation, contact us at American Tourist Travel. I can help you personally. We also book anywhere else in the world you want to go. So please, guys, if you want to check out any of our sponsors, head over to our website. It's all in WDW. Now we're going to hop on the train and head over to the pub. Have a great day.
Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by the singers in the background with you, John. Where you at, buddy?
Oh, I'm bumming around. I thought I'd take some beignets home to Lisa, so I'm at Port Orleans French Quarter.
So. Oh, okay. You headed over there today, and they got some singing going on.
Actually, it's just outside the patio, so you just got some live jazz music. So.
Yeah, those three, whoever that was, they just started singing big time.
There you go.
So, I was going to guess Riverside in a minute, John. I thought maybe you squeezed over to the Grand Floridian there from the Magic Kingdom, and now when you hear that music, you kind of get it.
Yep.
So, where are you actually sitting at, John?
Right outside the little food court, Mardi Gras or whatever. Okay. No, that's the pool bar, isn't it? Yeah, so anyhow, outside the food court. On the other side of the courtyard, or the foyer, anyway. So.
Yeah, and that used to be Scat Cats right there.
Yeah. Float Works, isn't it? Float Works, isn't that the name of the
Airport
service? Yeah. So I'm sitting right outside there.
Okay. Yeah, they're cranking out the tunes, Johnny.
Yeah, I can move away from it if it's annoying you.
Is there another speaker? Like, is there like a seat, like maybe a couple feet from that one?
Let me see.
Because you sound like you're sitting under a speaker, and when you listen back, you will hear me.
That any better?
That's a little, yes. That's a lot better, actually.
All right, let me drag my stuff over here.
I apologize, John.
No problem.
Before the show started, when you first asked me, it was, there was just a little music there. Well, when they start singing, you know, it kind of rattles my brain into, can't concentrate that much.
I got you. So, yeah, it shouldn't be too bad over here.
The positive thing is we have music in the background now.
Oh, there you go.
So, your Gators head off this week?
Yes. Big game next week against them there Georgia Bulldogs. So.
Okay. Well, this segment is brought to you by the Adventures of Peas and Carrots. You can head over to YouTube and find their wonderful channel. So, and we'll also bring it to you by WDW Fan Zone for the latest articles from our good friend Judith. How's that sound, John?
Hey, there you go. I saw she had another one out today. So, yeah, speaking of the Gators, fortunately, I do like a college team because my Buccaneers are sucking hind.
Watch that language
butt,
there, John.
Yeah. It's not good at all. Just not good at all. So.
Well, at least my Eagles pulled it out, so I wasn't totally miserable today.
Now it looks like they got a big Vic. Big victory.
Yeah, they just ran the ball right down their throat, and that was nice to see over at doing that to Buffalo's defense. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, we won 31-13. So Judith is happy to hear all this information. Brian's happy. Call of Duty came out this week, so he's probably enjoying himself doing that. So.
Oh, there you go.
And I got a new Apple computer this week, John.
Yes, I've heard all about it. Sounds fantastic. Sooner or later, we're going to be up and running with the show on that, I imagine. So.
Yeah, I'm going to be spitting all the programs in. I got an iMac, which it's very, very nice. It's just going to take me a couple weeks to get used to how this works. But what's nice about it is, unlike the other old computer I had here, I can load both of the websites, all the news sites, and there's no freezing up, John.
That's wonderful, isn't it?
Oh, it's heaven, buddy. Absolute heaven. So, did you grab anything to eat yet, John?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I took the cheap way out, though. I stopped at Speedway and got two beers and a personal pan pizza for $9. So,
there you go.
I'm afraid I had to take the budget way out, but as a matter of fact, that pizza is going to be a lot better than just about any other pizza I get on property, especially for $5.
So, yes, I bet it's better than the Riverside pizza is now.
I'm pretty sure it is. So, yeah, absolutely. So.
But that music's making me homesick, John.
That's kind of why I figured I'd come over here. That and I wanted to grab some beignets for Lisa before I head home. So.
So you had to cut back on the budget so you could have the money for them.
Yeah. But, well, actually, we're coming out next Monday, going to breakfast and then heading over to the Food and Wine Festival. So I'm saving the budget for that. So.
Well, you ought to have a great time.
Yes, we should. One night stay at the Animal Kingdom Lodge. So it's going to be a fun day.
Oh, absolutely. I'm looking forward to hearing you guys, all the fun you're going to have. It sounds like it's going to be a great time, and I wish I could be there.
Yeah. I wish you and Brenda were down, too. So yeah. It's going to be nice to see Judith and Tommy, but it'd be nice to see even more folks. So, but, yeah, that's coming next week. And then I know you saw my stuff that happened this week. I was able to switch my vacation in May from Saratoga Springs to 6 nights at the Polynesian. So I'm absolutely stoked we're going to be staying at the Poly for a real vacation. So totally happy.
You're going to have our muddy Pat, very jealous. Our buddy Pat, very jealous you're going to be down there at the Poly.
He owns points there. I'm pretty sure he can stay as much as he wants. So.
But, John, we all go, but we're all jealous when somebody else is there and we're not.
Oh, absolutely. I'm jealous every day as I'm working at the Pirates of the Caribbean watching everybody else have fun. So,
Is there anybody pop in and see you lately, Johnny?
No, I haven't seen anybody lately, to tell you the truth. So I know probably Judith and Tommy will come by next weekend, but no, nobody stopped by lately. So,
well, hopefully some of our friends pop out and see you soon. And
yeah.
Did you see some of the Twitter and back and forth I was doing the last couple days about Disney charging now for fuel rods?
No, I saw the story come out, but I didn't see you getting into the discussion about it. So
Everybody's trying to not blame Disney and just blame fuel rod, which fuel rod is to blame too, because I did defend fuel rod at first, and I like fuel rod. We have a few of them. I went to my local store, which was always free. And I went to the outlets where we hang out at, and I got over there, and they were $1 for a swap out, not $3 like Disney. So, so Disney still has to have their paws in there somehow.
Yeah. I don't know. That's one of them things. If you don't like it, don't pay for it.
What about people like us that already paid for it? Now we don't like it.
Well, then charge it up and charge it before you leave your room.
So
I don't know.
I was guaranteed for life for something to be free, and it's not. So I'm not.
I never remember seeing a guarantee for life on those things.
Well, that's what it was when I bought it. Well, I assume. So I'm an ass to figure that somebody was going. So I was an ass to figure somebody's going to do the right thing. So if somebody has something I do work on somebody's house and something happens to it and they call me up, tough shit.
Well, I don't know, Doug. How did you expect this company to make any money? I mean, how would they possibly make any money if they just sold these fuel rods and then never charged you for it? So they're just supposed
They should put on there when you buy it that there will be a charge eventually. It won't be forever refills for free. I really don't care because I charge it in the room anyway. But it's just the print. Why is Disney $3 and everywhere else $1?
Well, why is the Coke $3.75 when everywhere else is $2?
It's still wrong. It's still wrong.
Location.
That's one thing that they could. I mean, the point is, John, they don't have to get you at every turn, but apparently they do.
Yeah, I really don't have a problem with it. Like you said, you charge them up in your room anyway. So, I mean,
Know what I'm going to do from here on out? I'm never going to have a problem again. We'll just pretend we're every other show. Everything is great. I love it. I hope they raise prices on everything, John, and I won't have a problem with it.
If I forget to charge mine in the room in the morning and I pay $3, I pay $3. It ain't that big of a deal.
Okay. It's not. The heck with it. No big deal. $3 here, $3 there. Rich men, no big deal. $3 here, $3 there, $25 to park, $25 for this, $30 for that. Yeah, no big deal. It's not a big deal. I don't care.
I don't pay to park, so I don't worry about it. So.
Yeah, well, that's how I should get. None of this has any effect on me, so I really shouldn't care about anybody else is the way it should be, right?
Doug, if you're out here and you forget to charge your fuel rod, you pay $3 for it. I don't think that's going to ruin anybody's vacation. So.
Yeah, well, okay, well, it's just like, I don't understand why any of the idiots out there had problems with refillable mugs either. Because that shouldn't have been a problem either, that everybody had the problem with. What they should do is they should just charge you $20 for them and then charge you every time you fill them. I don't know why they even let you refill them anymore. Why would you have a problem with any of that? There shouldn't be refillable mugs no more either, right?
I never use a refillable mug.
No, but everybody who did, up, they were in uproar about that too. I don't know. That we should just get to the point where anybody can do anything they want to us and not have a problem with it. That's going to be the new motto here at Main Street. Come in the bar, stick it in us, and leave. Stick us up, rob us, and leave.
What? How did you possibly think Fuel Rod was going to ever make any money, though, if they didn't charge for refills? I mean, I don't know. It kind of struck me as evidently at one time they're going to have to charge. Because
just put it on there. They should have charged from the beginning. I took it as the opinion it was not going to be when I bought it. I thought it was something that maybe – this is me being super naive. I thought maybe this is something Disney did with them. So their guests, when their phones died and stuff like that, could have a reasonable way to recharge their phone. But I was wrong to feel that Disney would ever want to do anything for me ever again. So that's how I felt, John. I thought they were doing it for us. Something they were actually still doing for us. But apparently I'm wrong. The new motto is just come in the pub, stick us up, rob us, and we don't care. Is that the new motto for the pub?
I don't know. It's $3. So.
Okay, $3. I'm glad that $3 don't bother you. Anyway, but hopefully McDonald's. Here's a new one. McDonald's near All-Star Resort to close for a remodel. So hopefully they charge us $3 more for fries. What the hell? It's only $3. When you hit that toll road tomorrow and it's $3 more, who cares? It's only $3. Phone bill, this, that. It's all $3. It's no big deal.
If $3 is that big of a deal to you, charge your... fuel rod before you leave your room in the morning.
Why don't you read this one, John?
All right.
Give it up.
The McDonald's one?
Yes.
Alrighty. For many Walt Disney World fans, their nostalgia of the park goes hand-in-hand with memories of the numerous McDonald's kiosks that served food from the Golden Arches. Due to a strategic partnership that went into effect in 97, a total of 6 co-branded kiosks and quick-service restaurants sold McDonald's French fries, McNuggets, and even McFlurries throughout the park. The Eisner-era partnership also led to the development of 2 full-fledged McDonald's locations on property, with one in the Downtown Disney and another by Disney's All-Star Resorts. Many may recall that McDonald's near Disney All-Star Resorts, by its former wacky exterior, featuring larger-than-life figures of Ronald McDonald, Grimace, and the anthropomorphic menu items like fries, Happy Meals, and McMuffins. That McDonald's originally opened in 98 and received its first makeover in 2009 when it was transformed from its cartoonish exterior to the more contemporary look we see now. Was actually there to document the newly reopened McDonald's as enhanced evidence by a piece that was simply titled Trendonald's. Now, 10 years later, this McDonald's location is set to undergo a lengthy refurbishment to bring guests a redesigned, more elevated experience. It's a McDonald's. How elevated do you really want a McDonald's to be? But...
Well, as you said earlier, location, location, location. This should be the most expensive McDonald's on the planet.
I think it is already.
Well,
so
it should even raise it more because we're not paying enough.
It probably will. For all you nostalgia junkies out there, we decided to tour the facility as it is now prior to its refurbishment to preserve its McDonald's Disney history forever. The alliance between the two companies ended in 2007, leaving this McDonald's location as the only remaining relic of the partnership. While it's a shadow of its former colorful self, this McDonald's remains wildly popular despite its inflated prices. There you go. Families flock here.
They're not inflated. It's the location, man. A number three with a Coke should be $27, and nobody should say a damn word about it.
I think the last time me, Lisa, and JJ ate there, we thought we were going to save a couple of bucks, and we got just three value menu meals, and it was almost, I think, $38 for three value meals.
Dude,
so,
it's
yeah,
so man. Worth it. You got the seat of Disney buses drive by, man. What are you bitching about?
Families flock here. You know, and still, Doug, I stopped at Speedway, like I said. That's the one place that amazes me that they don't inflate their prices.
I don't know why. They should be charging, seriously, all kidding aside, they should charge $3 more a gallon for gas. Why? I mean, no big deal.
You go over to International Drive, and they sure as the heck do. So.
Yeah, well, they should.
There's a place right by one of my stops on International Drive that has a little sign out. You can't even really see it until you get right up on the pump. But they charge, I think it's $4.99 a gallon for gas.
Yeah, well, they're nuts.
Big, huge ripoff. Families flock here, whether they're staying at Disney All-Star Resorts. There's even a dedicated walkway. I didn't know that. Or need a bite to eat after a long after-hours event in the parks. Without much further ado, let's see. When it first opened in 2009, this location was lauded for its clean, contemporary look. Now it's just aged. Like all of the other McDonald's that were redone during their years, permanently stuck in that early 2000s modern look. A lot of glass, a lot of the screen, you know, the shaded covering with the open struts and stuff like that. So,
I can honestly say I've never eaten at a McDonald's on Disney property. I can say that.
Yeah, there's only one left, and that's the only one left. So.
I never even, at the kiosks, I've never bought French fries on Disney property just to buy French fries.
Nah, I think Lisa had French fries a couple of times, but yeah, why would you want McDonald's when you've got such a multitude of items to choose from, especially at Epcot? I can't imagine which place used to be the McDonald's? The one right there on the way to Canada. That was the McDonald's
that
had fries. Yeah, that had fries and crap in there. I mean, you're walking into World Showcase and you're going to stop at McDonald's. But hey, I guess it takes all types. So.
Yeah, I never did. Like, I'm not saying I haven't had fries with a burger and meals and stuff like that on property from the restaurants, but to just walk up and grab a bucket of fries or, you know, a cup of fries, never did it. There's so many other things I'd rather have.
You know what? I bet you would have. In hindsight, you probably would have preferred that McDonald's to some of those Liberty Inn meals that you've had.
Oh, 100%. Liberty meal, they were horrible. I mean, I've probably had 15, 20 meals there over the years, and probably 5 out of the 20 I've liked. You know, have been decent. You know, so.
Yeah. You're like a goober that just keeps going back. Okay, I'll give it one more chance.
No, I'm not the goober. I love my wife with all my heart, but for some reason, we walk by there, she wants to eat there. I don't know what it is. The woman's never in the mood for a burger and fries until we walk by the American Adventure.
She feels American. She needs a burger, dang it.
No, and then I've been down there with the godsons and my brother because, you know, Tomater, I love them dearly, but, you know, burgers and fries are like their wheelhouse, if you follow me.
Not exactly a gourmand, is that what you're saying?
No, and I get it. Like, he thinks they're saving time by eating fast food, where, to me, the food isn't the experience for them as much as it is for us. They're more being out roaming around than they are sitting down to eat, where me and Brenda's just the opposite.
Yeah. You guys have been more, too, right? I mean, Tomato hasn't been as many times as you guys have.
No, not lately, no. But for a run there for about 10 years, they would do 4 weeks a year.
Oh, really? Goodness.
Well, what he would do is they would buy the annual pass, and they would go every July, and then they would go 2 weeks at the end of 1 year. You understand what I'm saying? But within a year's time, they would go twice. So they basically do 2 weeks, but if you looked at it really, it was 4 weeks a year.
Yeah, I got you.
Then when my poor brother's wife got sick and all with the, you know, breast cancer and stuff like that, it kind of throw a monkey wrench in the kibosh. You know?
Right.
So, but thank God she's okay now. And yeah, they haven't been back as much. So they're looking to go soon with the grandkids again.
No, good for them.
So
yeah, but I mean, if that's what you like, you're after the attractions and stuff like that. Hey, you know, more power to you. But yeah, me and Lisa are definitely, we're with you and Brenda and taking our time and relaxing and stopping to eat every once in a while to try something new. So,
you know, 100%. I love, you know, that's the one thing I do love is the food there. So back on WDW Magic, Johnny. I'm going to the Fountain of Nations demolition. I'm sad about this one. I was hoping the fountain would be out of stay for some reason, but I knew it wouldn't, but I'm going to miss that fountain.
Yeah, and it had such an interesting story, too, when they dedicated Epcot. They had, you know, everybody, there was water brought from the seven different seas. There was water brought from the polar ice cap. Something like 50 different rivers from across the world all poured into there before they started the fountain up. So it had a really interesting story to it. So, yeah, it's a shame to see that leave.
Yeah, demolition is well underway to remove the Fountains of Nations structure removed. They've been on site for much of the month repairing the site, which will eventually see the removal of the closed Club Cool, character spot, and former intervention. So they're tearing that all out. Now the new one will be, instead of the Fountain of Nations with water from everywhere, it's going to be, they're going to put money in there, so hopefully it drains more money from all of us, from all the nations, is what it's going to be.
No, all kinds of different currency. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, okay. The fountain of money for they're going to call it Bob Iger's personal fountain. I'm surprised he might start one of them, and he probably has his pool boy dive in every day to pull the change out of it.
Oh, let's not tell stories. All the change that's donated into all the fountains around Walt Disney World, Walt Disney property is donated to a charity. So,
yeah, well,
and it's not Bob Iger's charity.
No, and hey, you know what? Just like the $3 for the fuel rod, I don't believe that anymore. I would like to see fact that it still is, because I could see it now where it's 50-50. I don't believe they still give every nickel. Not the Disney I know now. There's no way they give all that change on. It's probably like some of these other charities out there, and I'm just speculating here, where they have $18,000. They have to pay everybody before. Like, know how some charities, not all donations go?
They have to pay themselves.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking Disney's probably getting to the point where they're going to start paying themselves before it goes out.
Yeah, there's some of them charities where I think 90% of it is wrapped up into red tape costs before any of it gets to the people that you thought you were giving money to. So.
Yeah, well. I'm not saying they don't give it all, but I'm gonna look into that, because I don't believe it anymore. The old Disney, I believe that they would give it all and match it. Give whatever they got a month and change, and then write another check for the exact amount. That's the old Disney. The new Disney, I'm not so sure. Bob's like, that's gasoline for my other Porsche.
Yeah, maybe I can buy another movie studio with that money.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah. I know you're excited about this one, John. Hold on, I'm skipping ahead. But I'll let you read it anyway. Updates coming to the new Star Tours. The Adventures Continues, inspired by Star Wars. The Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, Star Tours. The Adventure Continues will be updated with new destinations inspired by the latest episode of the Star Wars saga at Disneyland Resort, Walt Disney World, Disneyland Paris, and Tokyo. The new additions will open at Hollywood Studios alongside the December 20th opening of Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker. So, well, that's cool. So, it's probably just a new film in there or something like that. But still, nonetheless, it's always cool to see a new planet and Adventures Continue. And that was one of the best things they did when they did update it a couple of years ago when they refurbed it, was the ability to slide new stuff in and out. So it's really cool. So.
Well, a lot of people are saying that they're more excited about the this than they are Smuggler's Run.
Perhaps Smuggler's Run, yeah, but the other attraction, the dark ride that's going to be opening up, that looks phenomenal. So that's what I'm really excited about.
Yeah, Rise of the Resistance.
Yeah, Rise of the Resistance. It looks fantastic. So really, really stoked about that one. So.
Well, I'm excited for you to get over here, Johnny. And I'll go through this real quick. The front phase of Epcot looks nice with the tram and the ball and the way they have it marked off. The first phase of Epcot arrival experience is now open to guests. I wonder how much easier it is to get through there now.
I don't know. I'm going to have to check that out. So, yeah, well, I'll be able to check it out next Monday. So,
Yeah, the new tram loop is now in operation with drop off and pick up currently operating from the same side. So the main bag check area is now located under the monorail ramp with dedicated lines for no bag, strollers, and wheelchairs. That's pretty cool. With the new bag checkpoint location, guests arriving by monorail no longer need to pass through security at Epcot, with those guests already screened at the TTC.
Good deal.
What idiot has been saying that for years now, John?
Yeah, well, it was so annoying. They finally moved it, screening over to TTC, but then once you got through there, you took the monorail over at Epcot, you still had to go through it again. So why do I have to go through it twice? So thank goodness.
Yeah, this idiot. The exit from the park is now directly underneath the monorail station as it was prior to the recently temporary rerouting of the walkway. Construction work continues on the eastern side of the monorail station area. So I'm anxious to see what all these changes have been, John.
Yeah. I'll take some pictures next weekend when we're out there and try some of the stuff. So we'll definitely get some pictures of some of the food items and stuff like that, too. And unfortunately, I guess a picture of the demolished Fountain of Nation. So, yeah, some of that's going to be really sad to walk past, you know?
It is. It's going to be like our I don't know, I wouldn't call it our youth. You know what I'm saying? The first time I walked by that, I was 26 years old. You know what I mean? 26 years ago, it's been, I remember that thing.
I was 11, so.
And what's that, 50 years ago?
You are a funny, funny man. You know what somebody said to me today? That an older gentleman was in the first line, or line, aisle, row one.
And I was, excuse me, pop-pop pirate?
He was in row one. He was probably in his 60s, and he started talking to me. I'm the load guy, you know, push the buttons to open the gates and send the boats and stuff. And he's talking to me, and he goes, "Ah, interesting. How long you worked at Disney?" And I said, "Oh, almost 3 years now." And he goes, "Oh, what do you do? Retire?" And I went, "Oh, God."
pop pop pirate.
Me and my bald head, man. I must look 65 now. So wonderful.
John, I wish you were doing. I wish you'd be driving me out to do this now. Again, this is one. If we live locally, I would do it. More dates available for the Circle of Flavors Harambee at night progressive dining experience.
Yeah, this seems pretty interesting. I mean, from what I've heard of the guys talking about it and the food they offered and stuff like that, it seemed like it was a pretty good time. So, Circle of Flavors Harambee at Night debuted at Animal Kingdom this past summer, and new dates have now been added for the winter. Hey, look at that picture. Is that me driving? I don't think so, but...
Guy's kind of cute. Can't be you.
Yeah, okay.
And he looks young, too. He looks at least under 50, so...
Ah, I see that. You're a funny, funny man. Dates are available. Book online now for December 4th through April 15th, 2020. The $125 dining adventure begins with a welcome reception at the Wildlife Express train station and takes you to the train station at Rafiki's Planet Watch, then continues on to Harambee Market. Well, it's not really continuing on to Harambee Market.
You go back. It turns around and comes back.
Yeah, exactly. Throughout the night, you'll take in the sights, sounds, and flavors in celebration of the Lion King and the Big Five game animals, the African elephant, the rhinoceros, the Cape buffalo, the leopard, and our host animal, the lion. That's kind of odd that they picked that because, I mean, you would think, you know, I don't even know if they would really, because those are the Big Five trophy game animals.
Yeah.
That's kind of odd, but okay. Along the way, you'll have the opportunity to learn more about the importance of the Big Five and the challenges they face around the world.
I guess that's for protecting them, to let you know they are the Big Five most endangered.
I guess, around the world, as well as how Disney is working to protect them. So,
I wonder what the menu is. I haven't seen the menu. Have you?
Let's see. I know they brought some out when I was over there for the coordinators and the leads to try. Of course, none of us lower schleps got to try anything.
Here we go. I got the food here, John.
Okay, good deal.
The 125 dining adventure begins, blah, blah, blah. But challenge the world as well as working to protect them. Starting at the train station, receive light hors d'oeuvres, snacks and beverages, alcoholic and non-alcoholic. We got alcohol, John.
Mm-hmm.
While enjoying acoustic music before hopping on the train right over to Rakifi's Planet Watch. Upon arrival, you'll be greeted with light bites and sips and hanging out in the train station. Familiar friends Timon and Rakifi will be available for character meet and greet and interactive activities of all ages. Once you finish Rakifi's Planet Watch, hop back on the train and venture back over to Harambe Market for the main event. Throughout the marketplace, you'll enjoy an array of sweet and savory dishes paired with unique beverages. Circle of Flavors, it's $125 for adults, $199 for kids. It's just showing pictures here, John. It looks like shrimp. It looks like some filet mignon. I mean, some what would you say, John? What would that be? Roast beef?
Strip loin, maybe. Strip loin. Yeah.
And then what would the one down the bottom be here, you think?
Well, one's desserts. The other one, that looks like some kind of maybe fish, you think?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah, that one's hard to tell. But they look good. I'd eat whatever it is. I'm not saying it looks bad. It's just hard to tell what it is. But
yeah, I'd give it a try.
This is something like, again, if you live there, you know, special occasion, my birthday, Brenda's birthday, anniversary, you know what I mean? Do something like this for fun. I think it would be a good time.
Yep, and you know what? The main reason you wouldn't have a problem with this at all, Doug?
It's not closing the park.
It's not closing the park, and it's going on after the train closes anyway. Okay. Rafiki's closes at 5 o'clock, and the last train from Rafiki's comes back at 5:30, and this doesn't start until – what time does it start? 7? So
yeah.
6:30? Yeah, so this is all extra shifts for everybody that's working. So if anything, it's just giving some guys on a Wednesday some overtime. So
And you're right. We didn't bring this up, but we talked about it the other day on one of our rides home when we were out working our normal jobs. And nice lady I met at the local store, she was headed down last week. And she was telling us, she was complaining to me, and God is my witness, she brought this up. What's going on with these parties down there? There was 3 Halloween parties, and remember, John, you were saying there was something about a special event going on there. They closed the park at what, 6 o'clock?
Yeah, last weekend, I worked Saturday. And it poured all morning, and then it was cloudy and pretty crappy the rest of the day. That was the one day that there was no party or anything, and the Magic Kingdom was open until 10 o'clock. But it was a crappy, rainy day. Well, there's really nothing Disney can do about that. You have to admit that. They can't do anything about the weather. But it's Florida. It's going to rain. That's just the fact. But then Sunday night, they had a Halloween party, closed the park at 6 o'clock. Monday night, they had a Halloween party, closed the park at 6 o'clock. Tuesday night, they sold it out to a private company for some kind of corporate event and closed the park at 6 o'clock. So out of 4 nights there, you had 1 rainy day and 3 nights that you couldn't have even been in the Magic Kingdom past 6 o'clock. So, yeah. On that one, Doug, I would have to agree with you. That's totally bogus. I mean, seriously.
And the biggest problem I have is that day that they have that private party, or they should have a sign at the gate when you're getting ready to pay or use your ticket for if you have a 6-day, whatever day you're going to go, or 7-day, they should have tickets before signs up, or even let you know on your app that park is closed. Like, Disney will send out text messages to get you to buy or do anything they need you to do. Why couldn't they send out a text message to everybody? And I know, John, you're an annual pass holder. You didn't get one, did you, about the park being closed that day?
No, and what you're saying about the text messages, well, emails. I mean, if you have a fast pass for Pirates of the Caribbean and Pirates of the Caribbean goes down at 2 o'clock, your fast pass is at 2:15. If we're still shut down at 2:15, your fast pass automatically becomes anything in the park experience, which is a good thing. It's a very good thing.
Exactly.
But you get an email from Disney alerting you of that fact. So if you check your emails, it's right there. So there's no reason that once you're in the park, they wouldn't know that you're in the park. They can send you an email that's associated with your account to let you know that, the park is closing at that time. But, I mean, really, you would think the people scanning fingerprints in the morning would be letting people know, hey, by the way, park's closing at 6 o'clock. By the way, park's closing at 6.
Let people know. Or if you're going to shut the park down for private like that, right, John? Don't you think it would be the right thing to do at the very, very least is to give everybody the opportunity to go to one of the other parks at night?
You would think so, and just turn everything into a park hopper.
And again, and this is my biggest thing. I truly believe Disney, Mr. Money Grubbin', Dripping, Bob Iger, just turn everything into a freaking park hopper. Stop with the one-day admissions. Just let us be able to go wherever we want. I don't even care if you charge a little more because it's worth the aggravation and not having people like this lady who went last week. 4 days she couldn't go to the Magic Kingdom because of this. Am I wrong, John?
No, you're absolutely right on that. I mean, they should be. It should be instead of one price for the Magic Kingdom, one price for Epcot, and then
should be
add
one
this
price
for, the
park for a full day.
Just make everything $135.
Yeah.
You know, make it $135, and then you can go anywhere you want as many times as you want in one day. There you go. You know, it's a one-day admission.
And so. It's like everybody thinks it's about that, but it's like nobody under – and I still love because I'll get the idiots. I won't mention their names, but you idiots know who you are. Well, why do you still sell travel if you don't like it? Because I do like it. I enjoy helping people go on their trips. I love talking about Disney. This is why this moron still does this stupid show because I love it. But I don't understand how you can't be upset when I have to tell people about all these different crap going on. Every trip you do, you got 57 things going on, and you have to tell them about it. And it gets annoying, John, to tell everybody, and you did it for a little bit. How money-grubbing Bob Igerish do you feel when you got to call people back when these parties are announced to give them the information that, oh, you mean I can't go all day? Oh, so somebody's going to be there before me or after me. So what the hell's my ticket good for is what they asked you.
Yeah, true enough. I mean, I don't know, Doug, you know what you're saying here with the closing the park, but let's compare it to the train. The train closed at 5:30. Okay, so that's no big deal. Well, how about Tom Sawyer's Island? How about you put lights on Tom Sawyer's Island? That place closes at dusk anyway. So instead of, you know, renting out or doing something for the entire park, how about you rent out Tom Sawyer's Island for a private party? Nobody's going over there anyway, so there you go. There's your private party.
Yeah,
you know?
just, but again, is like, again, this is where I'm talking about money grubbing. And this is the stuff that they didn't, in my opinion, I don't remember them doing all the time. How pissed would you be, John, if that was your Magic Kingdom day and they shut you out at 6?
Yeah, well, I mean, I am the king of disappointment because I, as I've told you before, I tried to ask Lisa to marry me underneath the fireworks at the Magic Kingdom, and the day I was there, I found out, and this is back before you could do your research and stuff like that, I found out when I was there that the park closed at 6 o'clock for the religious night of joy thing. So, yay, that was super. So,
yeah, John, everybody can't. We're the exception to the rule. Not everybody knows everything. I mean, I still have people that called Magic Kingdom Disney when you talk to them.
Well, Doug, yeah. Doug, not only that, I have people every day that come up and ask me what is Pirates of the Caribbean, and that one boggles my mind.
Yes.
How do you not know what Pirates
but
of the Caribbean
is? But all the elitist Disney ones that comment to me, like, you know, I consider us the know of, you know, we know. We're crazy. We know everything. And everybody, you got a lot of the people in our community that act like you're an idiot because you don't know everything.
Yeah, well, we're definitely the fanboys. So,
yes,
I mean,
exactly. I mean, it's just crazy. There's so many things that people have hobbies with that I have no idea what they're talking about all the time. People at work look at me like I'm nuts that I know this much about this. And I'm nuts, period, but...
Well, Doug, you know, within a couple of weeks of everywhere that I've worked, I have that reputation because a lot of the people I work with are CPs or they actually work out at Disney. Some of them actually work out at Disney because it's a decent paying part-time job. Mm-hmm. Not me. I work out here because I love friggin' Disney. So, mm-hmm. you know, within a couple of weeks wherever I work, you want what to eat? Okay, John, and send them over to me. And you want to go where to dinner? I don't know what's over at Port Orleans Riverside. John, and over they come. So, yeah, I get that reputation really quick. So.
Yeah, you got many reputations, John, but we're not going to get them off the air, you know, on the air. We'll keep that off the air. Here we go. Filming schedule for the upcoming 2019 ABC Holiday Special at Walt Disney World.
No, it's the party already.
Yeah, filming for most of the Halloween parties are sold out. I skipped right by them.
Yeah, they're almost done. What do we got? Thursday's Halloween. I think there's another party Friday night, and that's it. So.
Yeah, so they're pretty much sold out. But the dates, the filming dates, the ABC Holiday Special will take place this year, November 7th, 9th, and 10th. And although subject to change the schedule for filming at Disney Hollywood Studios on November 7th, and the Magic Kingdom on the 9th and the 10th. Following the previous year's new format, there will be multiple TV shows set to air throughout the holiday season. I bet there'll be some on Disney Plus, wouldn't you think, John?
I would think so. Maybe behind the, even behind the scenes type thing on Disney Plus, right?
Yep. Throughout the season, November, December arriving dates are still to be announced. As in recent years, no parade will be filmed at Walt Disney World, but stage shows, performance, including musical acts, will be filmed in Florida. The parade will be filmed in Disneyland Resort. Tickets will not be made available to guests, cast members filming in the audience, as will be filming in the audience as extras, and it may be possible to see parts of the filming from guest areas, however. It's sad they took that away, John. You used to be able to go there as a guest.
Yeah, and they actually filmed part of the parade here, too, so that's a little sad, too. So,
Earl of Sandwich won some awards, John.
Hey, how about that? Let's take a look. Earl of Sandwich at Disney Springs wins the 2019 TripAdvisor Traveler's Choice Award for Fast Casual Restaurants. Mary and Keene first out of the top 10. Based on a full year of TripAdvisor reviews, Earl of Sandwich beat out the other fast casual favorites such as Shake Shack, In-N-Out Burger, Portillo's Hot Dogs, and Five Guys. We're delighted and honored to have been voted number one top fast casual restaurant by TripAdvisor Traveler, said Robert Earl. Hey, how about that? Co-founder of Earl of Sandwich, on behalf of my partner John Montague, the 11th Earl of Sandwich, and myself, I want to thank TripAdvisor Travelers for recognizing our commitment to excellence. I also want to thank our amazing EOS team for their hard work and dedication.
Just for that, they ought to raise that holiday Thanksgiving sandwich by $3.
Don't give them any ideas.
It's no big deal. It's only $3, John. Why would you care?
The Earl of Sandwich is still one of the best deals on property currently, anyway. So.
Raise it $3. John said he don't give a crap.
I just don't give a crap if I forgot to charge my.
What if I brought a 10 and I forgot to bring $3 extra for my sandwich? Am I screwed then too? Anyway, John, you know I'm not gonna let it go, brother. New home.
I can't do that.
No, never. We'll be fighting about this off the air, so. I'll be calling you up tomorrow.
You know what? You can fight by yourself.
I'll be yawning at you tomorrow about $3.
Yeah, probably.
Anyway, new homes to be built on 26 acres of land previously owned by Disney and Disney Vero Beach. This is a long story, but they're going to be close to $1 million homes. I'm surprised that Vero Beach sold this property, John. When has Disney ever been into selling property?
I don't know. I have to tell you that anytime that we look at resorts to book, the ones that are always available are Hilton Head and Vero Beach. So I don't really know if they just are not as popular as Disney thought they were going to be or what. But, yeah, they're always available. So, and they actually have some really good rates on them, too, for points. But, I mean, I don't know. You go to Disney because you like to stay occupied. I mean, that's why I like to go to Disney. I mean, I'm not one of these guys that likes to sit in the lounge chair on vacation and do nothing. So hanging at the beach, unless I'm going to go swimming, is, you know, Lisa likes to fish and I like to swim, but I can't imagine more than a day of that. So, you know,
I will say that Hilton Head is awesome and I've stayed there before. You know, I've been there a couple times, so I really like it there. The thing I like about Hilton Head is like I've said a couple times in the show, Hilton Head Island, there's right across the little bridge there, there's marinas. There's a marina and there's a couple restaurants and stuff right there that are very good. And then you have, there's Disney Hilton Head Island that sits by itself on a little island there and Shelter Cove. But then on the other line, they own a beach house right on the Atlantic Ocean with private beach there, which is very nice. But then you also have Savannah, Georgia, and Charleston right in between. So there's a lot to do there. Like Savannah River Street is awesome.
Right, right.
I think you turn that music up, John, every time I'm talking.
I know, right? We're doing it on purpose over here.
Yes. But I'm shocked Disney sold anything, to be honest with you, like that.
Yeah, I don't know. It confused me anyway to set up Vero Beach as a resort anyway. I mean, if you know anything about the oceans down in Florida, the Atlantic Ocean is a much rougher surf. It's not such a easy, relaxing place for families, especially families with small children. because the surf is pretty rough. The Gulf of Mexico is much calmer and much warmer, and actually has, a lot of it has prettier beaches. So I'm surprised when they set this up that they didn't buy a place to develop as a beach resort on the Gulf Coast instead of the East Coast. So I don't know. It's curious. Like you said, I never remember Disney selling any property. So.
No, I'm shocked. And I mean, I thought that they would. I thought they did it because for people with DVC, figured maybe they would go to the park for a week and then maybe spend a couple days at Vero Beach to unwind.
Yeah, that was our plan. I think the first time we booked a DVC resort after or a DVC vacation after we got our original points, we had 4 nights at Saratoga, and then we had 3 nights at Vero Beach, and that's exactly what we were gonna do. And then we, as it got closer, Lisa went, why don't we just stay the entire time at Disney? And I went, yeah, let's just stay the entire time at Disney. So, yeah, well, I mean, I can go to the beach anytime I want, especially me. I mean, so yeah. I do go to the beach. So.
Yeah, we're psychos, dude. We want to be there all the time, even though yes. we're complaining. Permits filed for Walgreens at Flamingo Crossing. So,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, Walgreens may be the first retail store to open at Flamingo Crossing with permits for the drugstore now on file. So this means there'll be a Walgreens, a Rite Aid, and a CVS all within 5 feet of each other.
Don't open a Home Depot or there'll be a Lowe's across the street.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Jeez, dude. A 12,500 square foot drugstore is located on the corner of Flamingo Crossing and Western Way at the main intersection. Located just off 429 near the Wenzel Way, Walt Disney World, Disney rebooted its 10-year-old Flamingo Crossing development last year with the announcement of new plans to bring 29 retail and restaurant buildings across 45 acres to be developed in 3 phases. Now, that's probably why they sold the Vero Beach property to pay for this. Bob didn't want to put no more money out.
I know they're gonna put a Target there, too. So.
That's what Bob sold those 20-some acres for his new place out in California somewhere.
Is that what it is?
Yes, he needed it for to put his moat in at his house.
His moat?
Yeah. So far, now a Target store will join the development along with a Speedway gas station. So, John, you can go to Target and get a pizza at Speedway.
Exactly.
5 additional value hotels will ultimately be built, included in other Marriott and Hilton properties. The first 2 hotels by Marriott and Flamingo Crossing opened in 2016 and are the only business currently operating in Flamingo Crossing. I'm sure they'll be happy to see this coming.
Oh, absolutely.
So, I don't know. This is all the value in modern resorts because Disney's no longer building them. Right?
Yep, exactly. So, I don't know. What was the last moderate? I mean, really, I guess if you consider...
Coronado.
Coronado's expansion, so...
But even
the tower,
that,
right?
The tower's not moderate. That's deluxe.
You'd call that business class, I suppose, right? Because it's not quite deluxe, but it's pretty close.
Yeah. So. Look at the prices. I think you'll change your mind.
Yeah, I saw some of them. It's a little expensive. So.
Pat will be happy and I'll be sad. Mobile ordering comes to Poly and Port Orleans resorts.
Yeah, I was going to read this one. I don't want you having a heart attack. You're already all fired up. So let's see. The app-based restaurant ordering system, Mobile Order, has been added to more Walt Disney World hotel restaurants. Recent additions include Captain Cook's at Polynesian, the Artist Palette at Disney Saratoga Spring, Landscape of Flavors at Disney's Art of Animation, the Riverside Mill Food Court at Port Orleans Riverside, and Gasparilla Island Grill at Disney's Grand Floridian. Disney has more than 35 locations, Doug, set up for mobile ordering throughout the Walt Disney World site. Mobile ordering allows you to pay for meals on the go within the Disney Experience app, bypassing the queue to order at the restaurant. Using the app, you can select menu items, customize an order, and prepay for a meal. Arriving at the restaurant, you tap an I'm here button on the tap on the app, which will notify the kitchen to prepare the meal. When ready, you'll be alerted through the app to pick up the meal at a designated window. Credit card payments are accepted via mobile ordering along with the Disney dining plan.
So more people out of work. It was sad. I was talking to one of the ladies I know very well at Lowe's. She works at the commercial sales desk, John.
Yep.
And we're sitting in there talking because it's more and more of these places are taking out all the checkout and just doing self. And I was saying to her, pretty soon there's going to be a robot going up and down the aisles. And she goes, you want to know something? There's multiple stores out in California that already do that. They don't even have employees working the aisles. It's just a robot that runs up and down the aisle grabbing crap.
Yep, yep. You probably stop and speak to it and tell it what you're looking for, and then it'll spit out the aisle number.
Yeah. So what I want to know is, like, all these people, like, nobody gives a crap that it don't affect their job. But I don't understand, like, I love teachers, and I love teachers, how can I put this? What else am I going to say? Bankers and stuff like that. I know we got listeners that do all this, but, well, why don't all the banks just close and everything just be online? Why do they even have to have a bank? Like, you shouldn't need that anymore. And teachers, why do they even have teachers? Why wouldn't they just have one teacher in each state that does each curriculum? Why do they need all these teachers, John? Just do it online.
Doug, you're kind of speaking tongue-in-cheek there, but in reality, I bank with Bank of America, and there's several Bank of Americas around me that have absolutely discontinued the use of the drive-up window.
Now, we have it here, too. You got to go inside.
Everything is taken care of at the ATM or a mobile checking deposit. You know that as well as I do, that they, on their apps nowadays, you can deposit checks.
And why would I need a lawyer? Like, they should do away with all lawyers. I should be able to just ask my computer, tell it exactly what my problem is, and I'm sure it could go through the law books a hell of a lot faster than you could.
Yeah, true enough.
It isn't affecting anybody, but as soon as it affects you, they'll have a problem.
It's a different story.
Just because
absolutely.
It's all these blue-collar people, that their jobs don't matter because there's more money in my pocket. So keep your mobile order up, keep your self-checkout up, and when your job is gone, don't come crying to me because I'll say I told you so, just like these bag check claims.
Yep.
You know I'm not wrong, John.
No, on that one I agree with you. The custom ordering, although I have used it, it is convenient. It definitely is. It's going to have an adverse effect. I mean, especially in not only at Disney, but you go into any grocery store nowadays, half of the friggin' checkouts are self-checkout, except for, God bless them, my Publix's. There is no self-checkout at Publix's. So,
well,
you know.
Target knows. They open up lines for me, John. They won't even ask
they
me
see
no
you
more.
Come in the door. Oh, God.
Dude, they know me in there. They know me as to love me. And I was at my local ShopRite. I almost started an uproar in there. I thought I was having another Norma Rae moment. Because I had all these people. I had like four or five people walk away from self-checkout because I was going, self-checkout don't have a mortgage. Self-checkout don't have to have its health insurance paid for. Self-checkout should pay you. You're doing a job. Because the one guy was trying to figure out how to weigh his lemons. I said to him, you should have gone through the line. That machine ain't helping you. Now you're working. You're working for this store. You're giving them your money, and then you're paying them to do their job. Why these fat cats go home on their, you know, and they're sucking in all the money. No. Go through a line and make somebody else pay. If you all stand in line, they'll open up more registers. But no, God forbid your inconvenience for somebody else to have a job.
Yeah, one of the local home improvement stores here, they actually have a good thing. They have a discount for veterans. So it's a nice discount. So if you buy anything that over $10, $15, it's worth, you know, using that discount. But you can only do it at a real register. And so when I went in there the last time, there was probably 15 people lined up for the real register, nobody using the self-checkout, because that time of day, we're all older guys, veterans, who want our discount. So, you know,
100%.
But they only had one register open. So.
No, I was there. My brother's telling me one of the Home Depots up in Deffert, they went to all self-checkout except for the commercial sales desk. Well, I'm telling you right now, if ours goes to that, I will go, my days I'm laid off, I will go in there just to start trouble, and I will make everybody go down to the commercial sales desk and make lines run through the back of the store. I'll even go buy donuts at Dunkin' Donuts and food to hand out if people wait in line.
Yeah.
Just to stick it to them.
I give you a donut if you go down there.
You get what I'm saying, though. It's like nobody cares until it affects them. But then when it affects them, they want to hoot, holler, and cry. Poor me. Speaking about affecting people, John, this might help you out a little. Did you get the new Disney look to be further relaxed at Walt Disney World?
Yeah, Walt Disney World will be relaxing some of its Disney look guidelines for its costume cast members at the U.S.-based parks later this month. According to those familiar with the situation, beginning October 28th, which I believe is tomorrow, cast members, October 28th, God bless you, Mom. I miss you every day. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, so, Mrs. Peters.
Yes. Cast members will be able to wear a single bracelet and a single necklace, including a pendant an inch or so less in size. Cast members will also be able to grow facial hair to an inch and can have the visible stubble while it is growing. You know, thankfully, because otherwise you have to have like 2 weeks off or at least a week off to get a beard going. So, I mean, otherwise, I don't know how you're supposed to actually ever get facial hair. But previously introduced in 2012, any beard growth would have to be done during vacation time to avoid the stubble look and limit it to a quarter inch. The famous Disney look dates back to the 1950s and was strictly enforced for decades. Originally, a clean shave and neat haircuts were an absolute requirement to work at the parks. Hmm. So.
I just wonder if they give you a break with your tattoos soon, John.
I would hope so. I really would. Mine are not offensive. I got two yin yangs on my friggin' legs. I got a dragon yin yang and I got a dolphin yin yang, and that's all it is. So, I mean, there's no skulls, no death or before dishonor or blood or anything like that. So, I would hope so. I'd love to be able to just wear shorts whenever I wanted to. So.
I hear you, John. The way they're raising prices offends me more than me seeing your tattoos.
There
that's
you
all
go.
I'm saying.
There you go.
That
exactly.
$3 at the over at the fuel rod pisses me off more than seeing your yin and yang, buddy.
You know what? I'm gonna go with you now, Ben. Since you brought that up and you're gonna allow me to wear my shorts, I can agree with you now.
Thank you, John. I think we'll both agree with this. Construction to begin on the refurbished rooms at the All Star Music. I wonder what took them so long.
Yeah,
They were lacking.
A bit outdated, weren't they?
Jeez, Zoo, I felt like I was back at the Beverly Hillbillies going to this hotel after you seen how all the other hotels are upgraded. Room refurbishment have been underway at Disney's All-Star Movie Resort for just over a year now, but with the improvements finalized over on that side of the resort, work has begun on guest rooms at the All-Star Music Resort. We were out today to check out the latest construction progress where you can see it all going on. Work is starting at building 10 Calypso section, meaning the resort is down to an entire section of preferred rooms. So based on the All-Star Music, it's set up no room buildings flanking the main lobby. This could mean your odds of getting a preferred room close to the International Food Court and the bus stop slightly lower. Do keep in mind part of the jazz section are also considered preferred rooms, so more preferred room guests may be getting funneled back way and the lack of rooms at the Calypso. So I can't wait for this to be done. Me as a TA, if I want to stay a few nights, because I'll tell you what, those other refurbished rooms are beautiful.
Oh, the Pop Century ones were great. So, yeah, imagine if All-Stars is going to be anything close to Pop Century, they're going to be great. They were really nice, but again, we talked about this before. I don't know. There's just something missing in the value. There's a weird jump from values to moderates when it comes to not necessarily the room itself, but I guess maybe the decor or something, or maybe it's just like the moldings and stuff. It just looks
it's missing that little extra.
Yeah, it really is. But
because there's to my opinion, from the moderate to the deluxe, there ain't much difference to me except for the room size.
The biggest difference there, in my opinion, is balconies.
Yeah.
When you get to a deluxe, you get a balcony, and that's about it. DVC also gets a balcony. But, yeah, I mean, from a value to a moderate, you get one thing I know, you get a slide at your pool. You get a sit-down restaurant instead of just quick service. And you also get those enhanced, like we were talking about, just enhanced room, I don't know, beautifulness. I don't know. Yeah.
They have all the finishing touches on it.
There you go.
Like the crown moldings and all that. You know what I'm saying, John?
Yep. I even felt like that at Art of Animation, though. One night we stayed there, even though the room was themed incredibly cool to the Lion King and everything. It just, I don't know. You look at the corners and there's, like you said, no crown moldings, nothing like that. No frames around the doors and that type of stuff. So I don't know. It feels unfinished. So, yeah.
Well, that's the difference between the money, I guess.
There you go.
So I can't wait to see this latest construction update on Remy's Ratatouille Adventure at Le Crepe de Paris. Remy's Ratatouille Adventure construction in Epcot France Pavilion is moving along steadily with a new bit of construction appears every few days. Several things have changed since our last update. You can see the building's way out of the ground, Johnny. The time to structure Le Crepe creperie has added another layer on the right side of the structure. It's gotten bigger. There's a second layer, and then the floor, the facade is. It's going to be beautiful back here.
And again, like we've talked about before, this is more than just a. Yeah, I mean, you look at that finished artist rendition down there at the end, and actually, that's, you know what, I, now that I'm looking at that, what they're going to do is they're going to cut that sight line off of the. Of the Eiffel Tower, so you still aren't going to be able to see where the base is. So even from this area, it's going to look like, you know, the Eiffel Tower is still slightly away, so you're not really going to see the bottom of it. So that's cool. So, but it's not just adding that ride. I mean, it's adding a whole other courtyard to France. So it's going to be really cool. So
yeah, I can't wait. Me and my wife can't wait.
Absolutely.
New limited edition Minnie and Mickey Christmas Magic Band arrives at Walt Disney World today. So you want to get one of them, check it out. New Disney test, new flatbread pizza at Electric Umbrella. And oh, this my God, it says good. Slightly good.
Slightly better.
Yeah. That's crazy.
For years, the Electric Umbrella has been a go-to for guests looking for straightforward menu items in the park, and otherwise known for its wide variety of food options. For that same reason, however, it's also been dragged for offering less than stellar renditions of classic theme park foods like burgers and pizza. Basically, the only reason most of us head into the Electric Umbrella is for free refills, the nostalgic bathroom design and background music loop. So the restaurant set to close this winter for an extensive remodeling ahead of Epcot's New World Celebration neighborhood, and once it reopens, it will also feature pizza, according to the concept art for the upcoming revamped food and beverage space.
Well, sounds better. Did you hear, anything's better than what they had. How do you like this news story, John? Disney Vacation Club potentially raising prices on 13 sold-out properties. According to DVC News, planning on raising prices 13 of its sold-out properties. Despite limited advertising of these sold-out resorts, buyers can occasionally find points to buy at these resorts. Prices will rise between $5 and $20 per point at the sold-out resorts based on the resort. For example, Saratoga will raise by $5 a point, while Grand Californian would raise $20 per point. Other sources state that the points per price increase could reach $50 at some resort. Disney occasionally acquires points at these sold-out resorts via right of first refusal of point transfers and foreclosures. Now get a kick out of this, John. Not only are they, if you buy points from an outside vendor, kicking you in the teeth and not giving you all the same advantages, now they're going to raise prices on the ones that you could buy directly through them. How messed up is that?
Yeah, that's a little disappointing. I mean, I was trying to think about getting more points at some point, but yeah, this is really going to put a damper on that because, another 520.
Exactly. It's everything they do, John. It's insane. They just can't let anything go. I mean, they must have bloodhounds, like virtual bloodhounds that run through their whole Disney computer, their computer bloodhounds that sniff out every nickel, penny, or dime that is possibly squeaking through to the guest. And those bloodhounds are sitting there pointing and barking for Disney for Mr. Bob Iger to come and charge you for it, and Mr. Chapman, Chapin.
Yeah, they seem to be able to find everything, don't they?
Oh, my goodness, do they. Animation Courtyard Arch receives new paint in preparation for new park logo signed at Disney Hollywood Studios. I'm curious to see how this is going to look when we get there, John. What about you?
Yeah, I'm excited to see how all of this new stuff is going to look. So it's going to be exciting. So.
Yeah, so that they're getting ready to do that. Hollywood Studios is getting close to being done, I think, wouldn't you?
Yeah, the upfront should be just about done, and then I think we're waiting for obviously Rise of the Resistance to open up and stuff like that. But I think that's gonna be about complete Hollywood Studios, so at least for a while. So I know this story is gonna make Doug happy. Mm. Construction walls erected, exterior painting begins on Club 33, Harambe House at Animal Kingdom.
If you got it, do it. I would never do it. Again, I played the Mega Million again this week. If I hit it, I promise you guys. No, and this is just me, but The money that Club 33 would cost, John, I would rather give to you to go buy a new car. You understand what I'm saying, John? I'd rather do that than pay for this. You know what I mean? I'd rather give it to one of my friends. I'd rather book out a hotel for for a bunch of our friends from the show to come down and hang out with me and do that than sit in Club 33 and give them money that gives me nothing back but except to say, I was allowed to eat here. It's all you get out of it. I know it's not the best food in the world. It won't be.
No, but that's the same mentality as people that belong to country clubs and stuff like that. I mean, you join a country club and you're basically paying just for membership, and then you every time you eat there, you have to pay anyway. So, but
at least you get to play golf.
I suppose. You still have to pay.
Kusafuri Coffee Shop at Bakery offers, what, ferociously bad breakfast menu? Perhaps Disney's worst? Where the heck is this at?
See, if you couldn't tell from our baby giraffe photos on Twitter this morning, we're Animal Kingdom and working up a ferocious appetite with just two quick service options available during the early mornings in the Africa area of the park and the line at Creature Comfort, which is Starbucks, stretching far out the door. They opted to have breakfast at Kusafuri Coffee Shop and Bakery. You'll recall that this was the place that used to offer the goat cheese egg wrap for breakfast. Which sounds pretty good. Which is a good option for breakfast if you're rope dropping the park or otherwise didn't get a chance to chow down on a bounty platter at your hotel. They've since changed up the menu and added a sausage egg and cheese biscuit, a guava cheese Danish, and a spinach and feta quiche. In addition to the main items, there are other breakfast staples like pastries, yogurt, and coffee. Do note that cinnamon rolls are now Mickey shaped, which I consider a good thing. Once they made it inside, they ordered the three main new breakfast items, as well as two cold coffees. The quiche is likely microwaved somewhat small, served on a tiny combustible plate. It's certainly not terrible, but there's way too much salt in it. The sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit, they said, while the goat cheese wrap we knew and loved was somewhat unique and felt oddly suited for Disney's Animal Kingdom, this biscuit breakfast sandwich is a generic as breakfast item. Comes packaged in a parchment paper and wrapped in foil. Really crappy presentation here. This is a Jimmy Dean microwavable sandwich by any other name, essentially. If you really want a breakfast sandwich to start your Animal Kingdom morning, we recommend grabbing one from the nearby McDonald's.
No, Jesus.
Because they're definitely better than what they're serving here. And then the guava cheese Danish, despite this looking terrible with the hardened cheese and guava looking like a glob over the pastry, the actual Danish tasted okay. So,
I'll pass.
Yeah, none of that looked great, right?
No, and then believe it or not, John, this time of year they have a new pumpkin spice caramel cupcake, brings fall flavors to Carmella Kiosk in Epcot. So go check that out. Then they have a
bunch of new pumpkin spice.
Yeah, they have a new Funko Pop vinyl flurries at Walt Disney World. Mickey and Minnie houses from Mickey's Toontown and Disneyland Fire Department featured new ornaments at Walt Disney World, so you can go check that stuff out. New Disney Princess storybook playset arrive at the Magic Kingdom. They have a bunch of new toys for the kids, John.
Yeah, and there's all kinds of Christmas merchandise out already. Look through some of those pictures. You know, they had that magic band you were talking about. Germany has some new merchandise called Froschlocken, which I guess is Merry Christmas in Germany. So, yeah, all the Christmas merchandise is making its way out into the gift shops already. So be prepared. Although, Doug, you want to guess what temperature it was today? How about a fine 94 degrees? It's really hard to get into the Christmas spirit when it's still in the 90s here. So, and believe me, I've lived here my whole life. I know it's hot, but I mean, this seems a bit ridiculous this year. So
you're basically over it.
I am, seriously.
Well, know what I'm going to do now, John? After I'm going to let you go and get your baguettes for your beautiful bride. And I'm going to go out. I bought some Chilean sea bass last week. I'm going to go throw them on the grill.
Fantastic. Let me know how that turns out. Doug, if you don't mind me asking, how much they cost you?
They were like almost $11 a filet.
Okay. That's why I haven't bought them yet. I'm afraid I'm going to screw them up. So I want to know how you make them and how they turn out before I go spend that much on a filet. So.
Well, I'm going to grill them in some garlic butter, some parsley, you know, and do it that way, John. So.
Are you going to wrap them in foil or are you going to throw them right on the grill?
I'm going to throw them right on the grill, buddy.
All right. Good luck to you.
Yeah.
Don't let them stick and fall apart.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of, John.
Yep. Yep.
So what I might do them on the cast iron grill on the stove so I can oil it up a little better. You follow me?
Yep. Yeah.
I might grill them that way instead of the grates. You know what I mean? So I don't lose anything in between either.
that's what I've always been afraid of is you put them on that grate and then it sticks. You try to flip it and it's, you know, you lose half of it. So.
Yeah, I think I'm going to grill them up right on the stove, you know. It's been a miserable rainy day up here, but John, I appreciate you doing the show. It was so nice to have a computer that neither one locked up on me today, John. How nice is that?
How nice is that? And I was able to read half of the stories with you, so it was great.
It was nice. And you know what, John? I was going to send you down $3 to go buy another baguette or something, but it ain't worth it. You don't need it.
No, I don't need it. I'm good. I saved my money for the pizza, we're good.
I'm just playing with you, buddy. But anyway, guys, if you could, please head over to iTunes and leave us a review. We'd really appreciate that. And, John, you have a safe travel home. Be kind to everybody, John, and everybody else be kind to one another, and we will talk to you guys next week.
Bye-bye, folks, and if you're at the Pirates, make sure to come by and say hi.
All right. Say goodbye, John.
Bye-bye, folks.
That's it, guys. We're going to pay our tabs, hop off our stools, and head on home. But we'd really appreciate you guys listening. If you could, please head over to iTunes and leave us a review. Also, if you could, follow us over on Twitter at WDW Main Street. You can find John at Beer Solo. You can find me at good old Grumpy6767. And you can find us all at our website. It's all in WDW. Everybody be kind to one another, and we will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.